Good afternoon. Welcome to the last talk before the ending ceremony of the Matrix Conference. We're a bit sad this is ending, but very happy to hear Hofschott talk about the history of bridges and all the amazing things you can do with them. So big round of applause to Hofschott.
I think that sounds okay. Cool. My voice is really bad because it's like day 3 or 10 or something, and I've like very little of me left. So whatever comes out is probably good. So, hello. I've worked on bridges close to a decade, and that's kind of scary for, I think, some of the people in this room. It's like 7 or 8 years at least now. That's kind of scary. I thought it would be a good time to do a presentation on bridges because, I mean, I've not done that before. That's a bit fresh. But also, it's a lot of the things we've learned. I've written 5 bridges, apparently. I had to count because I wasn't quite sure, but it is 5. Also, 3 libraries because I didn't get it right the first 2 times, but the 3rd one, pretty good. This is generating some unique insights because bridges are quite complicated. It's not just writing software, it's maintaining communities as well, and trying not to scare your users into doing it the wrong way, and also make sure that matrices are in the right direction, collecting people together, giving them choice, making people want to get involved, right? So I've since mostly moved on from bridges as an official capacity. I still do it quite a bit because I'm doing this, and I've written some bridges for this talk, so it's not a complete failure, but I'm doing other bits of Element now, sort of just filling in bits and pieces and software stack and so on. Also work at Element. I've taken my badge off, so it's all Matrix branded, but there is Element involved in this. That was me when I started doing bridges. I've since grown a beard and got this voice. I now do this instead. I've got a different infrastructure job, which is squeezing limes into a cup and smashing it with a spoon. It was good fun. I think I served some of the people in this room really, really bad cocktails. So the agenda is anatomy of a bridge. Just people who are not aware of how to build a bridge, we're going to talk about it a bit. I probably won't have time to build one from scratch on stage. That'll be a bit too much, but everyone in this room will at least know how a bridge works from A to Z at the end of this room, at the end of this talk. We'll do a brief overview of some bridging problems we've encountered. I've realized this time slot's not allowed to talk about everything because it was 7 or 8 years, but we'll go through it very quickly, and then you can fix the problems for me. That'll be fine. Deep dive into evolution of IC bridge. That's an overstatement. We could talk a bit about it. Deep dive is difficult in this amount of time, but we'll talk about some of it, and cover some of the spec stuff as well. So we've got some good spec things out there. I had a look, and there's actually some good solutions to the problems we've got. And I've actually built some of the solutions in the last 2 hours. There's some pictures of me bent over my laptop doing this. Well, I never spend a good time saying goodbye to people. I was doing this and typing into some code. It's actually a pretty good implementation. In Vlog, it does say hack, hack, hack all over the code. We can't merge what I've done, but we could probably do it in the next year or so. One last thing, feel free to interrupt. Taking questions at the end is quite annoying because you've got to sit there 40 minutes wanting to ask a question. You can just ask a question. This has been put together quite late, so it's not going to be all correct. Also, last talk of the track. So I've had quite a few late nights. I think a lot of people have had a few late nights. I don't expect you to have the energy you did when you started this conference, so please don't feel free to be too enthusiastic because I'm holding together. That was what I was doing this morning. and Guillaume was going, taking pictures of me, slowly evolving my code. So yeah, and asking me of a bridge. How many of you have used a bridge? Yeah, I figures. How many of you have worked on a bridge? Yes, even Chileo is raising his hand. That's good. Good. That means you have probably written one of these, hopefully, those people. If you haven't raised your hands, of course you did. This would be a really embarrassing slide. But if you haven't written a bridge, you should go and do it after this talk. At the simplest, a bridge exposes a user on Matrix to users on another service and vice versa, so you can talk to your IRC people, whatever. A good bridge will try to do the native constructs of the thing it's working with, so IRC will have the proper communication platform, all quite seamless. That's the ideal way. It's rarely the case. It's the way I started. I thought, oh, this would be quite easy. As a spec, it's very easy to set it up. In practice, not so easy, but not always possible. So I'm going to make the cameraman swing all the way over here and point at things. So on this side, you've got, oh, I've got a mouse. that's not going to work. So on this side, you've got your foreign APIs, and I just run anything API there. You've got a bridge that sits here talking to one home server. You've got some issues on that home server. You might federate in and talk to another one, but that's pretty much all a bridge is at its essence. We've got some APIs. So it makes users obviously talk to the client server API. There's some federation happening here. There's a really sweet AS API here that basically does push style traffic rather than syncing, so it's quite quick. This API has massively evolved when I started. You can now do encryption and that sort of thing. You can do presence over it. And actually, there's an experimental API I'm working on, so you can do on-demand profile fetching. So you can dynamically fill in a profile based upon what's on a remote service without storing it on Matrix permanently. So quite a lot of cool stuff happening there. And also, yeah, any API there, because it could be anything. No two services are quite alike. Sometimes with XMPP and IRC, especially XMPP, very well documented, very clear, very easy to implement because there's just a lot of common ground. With APIs like Slack and Teams, there is an API. Sometimes it's lies. Sometimes they just delete bits of it when I don't want it anymore. Slack deleting its DMs system and its presence thing was quite annoying. Teams has actually, to be fair, got better over time as opposed to worse, but not exactly great. And as much as we have nothing, we reverse a damn thing. Again, shout out to Tulu. I think he's done a lot of reverse engineering in his career. And yeah, that's the most frustrating bit of bridging. But also, sometimes the most exciting bridging is when you're actually just breaking into a thing and building a really cool platform out of it. So this is the first problem. This is the first bridge I wrote. It's a GSOC student, 2017, I think it was. This was for Twitter, back when Twitter was cool and not crap. This was Synapse. And it had an API that was free and brilliant, and I think, if anything, a bit dangerous. I think they realized that. So yeah, Silence V20, I looked it up. It's that long ago now. This is Node.js V6, so it wasn't quite IOJS, what I think I thought it was going to be, but it's not. This is a very aging slide for me. And this is what it did. I couldn't actually load the events because it was too old ago, but yeah, it basically just bridged some things in with aliases and that sort of thing. It was really good. We allowed users to subscribe to anything with any hashtag they wanted. Don't know if you can see the problem coming yet. We also created a matrix user for each Twitter user who posted. And I put this on my personal home server in 2016 on a VPS, and I've still not cleared it all off. we put it on matrix.org, and people found out, obviously, that you could just bridge anything to anything. I think we're enthusiastic, but possibly a bit too enthusiastic. And it didn't actually do that. But obviously, at that stage of that time of life, with our hardware, it blew a thing up because we can't really feed Twitter into matrix.org and live. So lesson number one, matrix gives you some very powerful tools. Synapse home service, try touching and shooting a foot. There's a great big late limiting thing here, and people just turn it off. And it does what you think it does. It turns it all off. You can just send as much as you want, and home server will tell you nothing until it gives you a 503 or something like that and just says, please stop. So that's a lesson learned there. IRC bridging is hard. This is the one bridge I picked because it's the one I've had the most time with and definitely spent the most time sort of nurturing over the years, me and Keegan both. It's fun. So for this segment, it feels like it should be quite easy to map. You've got a priv message and matrix m.txt, roughly speaking. You've got a presence system and IRC of sorts. Matrix has a presence system. You've got DTCC, which is a transport media, old school style IRC, and matrix has media. So sort of links to what could go wrong. Well, things do go wrong with this. The problem with the IRC bridge is it spends a lot of time aligning the state with Matrix, because IRC is fundamentally stateless in most respects. There's a few bots to try and keep things together, but if you restart your server and there's no special bots, starts from scratch, but more or less. Matrix, the opposite. Restart your server, comes back the way it was before. So which server is going to spend time figuring this out? A lot of matrix bridging is spent realigning the state every time you restart, and a lot of time is spent doing that. So that's quite annoying. Other design decisions are not so great. The IRC nickname is great for searching up, but crucially, it can change over a session. So if you have a consistent matrix user called some nickname and they change it, you've now got two matrix users referencing the same person, and the DMs will change, everything becomes a nightmare. So one thing when you're writing your bridge is the namespace the user used for your local part, very important to get that right. If you get it wrong, you're going to be a lot of time fixing it later, especially when it goes to deployment, especially if it's been in production for 5 or 6 years. Good thing to fix. It's great for searching. It's really bad for long-term persistence and sort of just, yeah, use the proper local parts where you can. IDs are fine. We have better search systems these days. Matrix also supports the less rich text content matrix does. I'm sure everyone's aware of that. There's an extreme example here, which is calling. I've made some puppets because I thought I'd make puppets for the whole presentation. I ended up making it for about 6 slides. It was too much work, but these were fun. So you can ring, as soon as you can ring an RSC user, that camera quality is really bad. This is the quality of a Sony camera phone. So it rings. Most users are like, why is no one answering my phone? The button's there to ring. It hasn't achieved anything of use. I'll let him have to take a picture. Good. RSC user is completely oblivious because the bridge says nothing, does nothing, there's no fallback or anything. And then most user thinks it's quite rude because they've opened them up. On Matrix, you just see a user. You don't really even see an RSC user. So why would they not pick up the phone? Because it just tells you a great big button. Unless you know the RSC bridge is there and we design it not to be visible for the most part. So it kind of sucks. There's this MSC that actually tries to solve this. It's actually the second evolution of this system where your clients or your bridge will specify what you can't do. Beeper has actually implemented a version of this already, and I chatted to Tula about this over breakfast and I was trying to do the same thing. He's like, actually, it's been fixed. We fixed it ages ago. So someone tell him to commit the stuff upstream, because it'd be really good to have it in the actual MSC. But on the plus side, very useful to have him beside me to tell me what to do. So yes, it's good. One last thing, bit of an aside. Storing things is hard, and we learned this one too. Bridges don't need to store which users map to who on both networks, which rooms are bridged to which things. Sometimes there's custom configuration. Sometimes there's authentication for the network, and you know, bits and pieces you have to store. That very rarely are they actually truly stateless. Our first version of the bridges used a file-based storage system called NEDB. It's sort of a bit Mongo-like, and if everyone loves Mongo, then you won't like this because it's file-based and it sucks. It's also prone to deletion if you just press the wrong button, and it happened once. We recovered the service, but file-based DBs for bridges are a bit prone. But also, crucially, this loaded everything into a single string, and we found that there is actually a limit how much you can store on a string in a Node.js environment. There is a fundamental upper limit to your size of your string. So you do a json.parse, and a string's too big, it just explodes. And we found this out midway through the service when someone added one more password to their config. And then we're like, how the clean that up? So we end up having to decide that maybe this was not the right solution. So we switched all the bridges to Postgres after this because Postgres is great. It just works. So it's not really bridge specific, but when you're making bridges for Matrix, try and use Postgres. Except for Hookshot, we did something completely different for that because I was just feeling a bit different. This uses room state for persisting stuff. So all your Hookshot stuff persists in the room state. So if you're an admin, if you want to reconfigure your room for Hookshot. Oh, has anyone actually used Hookshot in here? Great, cool. That's a good point. Actually, yeah, that's a good point. So Hookshot, if you're not aware, is basically sort of like the RSS bot in Element. It allows you to send webhooks to a bot and sends it to Matrix. It's a quite simple bridge, really, but it's quite powerful. And yes, it uses the room state for that, and then it redirects for caching because it was quite cool. That's still recommended. I like that method. It's a bit funky because you have to load all the room state on startup, but if anything, that's more of an API shape issue than anything else. It's really fun because if you want to change your room and your client doesn't support the custom web widget UI, you can just edit it in your dev tools or whatever. So from a hacker perspective, room state for configuring rooms and your bridges is really fun. I recommend it. Thank you. We've got more. If this works, there's a demo. Because I couldn't do a talk about a demo, it'd be silly, wouldn't it, really? Oh no, not if Sway doesn't work. Why is name Pi? This could be quite annoying if I can't load my actual demo up. We're going to kill the slides. Oh, it's just behind the slides. Sway's great. Really love Sway. It's been really good today. This is a Element client I've hacked to pieces. You won't see yet, but you'll see soon. This is an RSC client. There's a bridge behind the scenes that's behind the scenes, all the other bits and pieces. And also, I'm going to show you the mouse on a sort of slanted surface. Here is our client. This is how a room's bridged from A to B. It's not a particularly dangerous demo because I tested it about 3 times, but still, it's fun. So we know from the room state this is an RSC room, and we tell users in advance it's an RSC room. We also have a really kind of awkward icon saying, by the way, this room, if you can just squint, so say with some features of cross-compatibility, and we have this in the room state. So if I open up my dev tools, If you don't use DevTools for it, it's awesome. You can see so much stuff. So we have this thing, which I'm going to zoom in a bit, shows you what you can and can't do in this room. So I've turned off, the bridge has turned off reactions, it's turned off room messages for the most part, except for text ones, set a max body size, it's also turned off RTC, because I'm not supporting a matrix on ROC. So this is fine. If I try and send a message, it's too long, like, woo, and just copy and paste, takes not a good time to end myself. It goes red, which is really annoying. And it warned you, I recommended length because someone in your room doesn't want you to send long messages, which is reasonable, to be honest with you, it's quite annoying. But you can send it anyway, and then if you go up to your other client, it goes woo, but quite annoying, and it at least this time it warns you not to do it, so you've been warned not to piss off the IC users, and if you've done it anyway, that's your choice. But it's a nice little feature, completely spec-compliant way of doing things, and just a nice same way to make people happy. There's a few more little features I threw in on the side. There's a bot spec, so we use extensible profiles in Matrix now, that's a new feature. So before Matrix, you had the ability to set just your display name and avatar. Now you can also set any key value you want, up to, I think, 65,000 characters, so pretty decent number of things you can do with that. One thing I've started doing in this is I can now highlight who the bot user is in the room, which means you probably won't try and talk to it. We could do more things like disabling messaging or changing the way the text is written, but it's quite a nice feature to sort of make a nice rich UI for that. I'm trying to think what else I've done. Person 2 might be a good person to talk to, except you can't call them because there's plans to support audio calls. That's because I've turned them off because the client has chosen not to do it. So, small number of features. This demo is not complete on the IC bridge. I can show it if you want, but it is just talking to a person IRC, it's not that exciting. We've done this one before. But anyway, you can see here that like, bridging works backwards and forwards, but also it disables the features, so when the IRC user will hopefully be less pissed off of you because it's turned off all the features that might frighten them. In summary, probably a really good idea to do this stuff. The MSCs are all there now. Minor little updates need to do with the beeper stuff, but otherwise, pretty much there. Probably very handy. Thing I'd like to do, if we can sort of fund the bridges, but yeah, pretty good. That is my demo. That is everything. I've deleted my slides, so this will be it. Thank you. I've noticed no one's interrupted me, so if you're just really polite, or you might still have questions. Has anyone got any questions on any of this? There's one there. All the way over there.
Does the reduced feature spec also cover things like, for example, nicknames, which characters they can contain? Because like currently there's the famous issue of spaces and brackets just getting stripped from the Matrix IRC bridge, which is really annoying as an IRC user.
Yeah.
The Matrix users are completely oblivious. In my opinion, the original sin of the bridge is making it just look like a Matrix on the other side as well.
Yeah, I mean, the way I probably solve that is upon join. I'd have it so that it would ask you, this nickname's not going to work. This covers message sending them in. Once you're in the room, it changes those bits. What I would do differently is have a prompt in the client to say, your nickname's not going to work for this, whatever reason. Here's a standard way to filter the characters, some sort of regex. You can specify, say these are allowed, and do it that way. That's probably the way I'd do it. I think some sort of join rules, but not join rules because there's a thing, but like join rules for bridges would be a sensible addition to that, I think. Sensible thing to do. Any other questions? Sorry, I'm making you really work, Milton.
How do these new rules work with events of a federation?
So it's entirely done through states. I think it's fine because even if you're talking from another home server, you'll still see the same rules. There's nothing stopping you sending these events. It's purely a client-side decoration as a politeness thing. I don't think we would want to start mandating you physically couldn't send it. I mean, outside the rules of power levels, because I think they could be used maliciously as well, potentially. Although if it's an admin, maybe it's fine. I think to start with, like, my bias would be to add optional rules to make it a better player, and then if we found that wasn't working, we might be able to do more strict rules of sort of federation things, because it's encrypted events for some bridges, it might be tricky anyway, to be honest. So it's like, here's some rules on how to play by them, as opposed to harsh, like, strict rules, because I think the problems we've had with the IRC stuff in the past has been, there's no indication you're in an IRC room, there's no indication what the rules are, and someone will eventually yell at you and say, you're doing this completely wrong, and from IRC client, it looks awful, so the thing we want to specify is what the rules are, clearly, I think.
I have a comment from the chat room. So what MSC allows one to warn users when that text is too long for ERC?
Let me find out. I wrote it down. Do you know what the number was, Chile? 4110. All right, I can post a link in the chat afterwards and give it like a deep dive and put the slides in, etc. So that's not a problem.
Okay.
One over there. Oh. We could have two mics maybe and do it simultaneously.
Now it's my turn. You said a couple of times like, oh, that's fun. What do you think would be the best commercial application for bridges, or can you envision some except BIPA?
Sure. So I think a good way is to, for my interest is governments and public organizations, whatever, on a legacy application, they want to migrate over to something cool like Matrix. That sort of move from one client to another is very painful. I think the only example where that's actually happened has been Mozilla, where they did a hard cut over from RSC to Matrix. And I think it was just, there was no real bridge. Well, there was a bridge, but they pretty much hard cut people over, right? But I think generally for big organizations, that sort of migration is really tricky. So bridges work for a migratory platform. And that is huge. That's a lot of money if you can do it well. That's why Mike gone down again, I think.
Okay, thank you. So a part of a transitional tool, transitional tool. And can you think of anything like longer term, like there to stay?
I mean, it might be useful if you've got like low quality hardware. So things like a SIP bridge is quite good in that situation, where you have like a desk phone. It's never going to speak Matrix RTC, to call back to a previous presentation. But it's quite good for the sort of like, I want to use old hardware, which is quite, you know, useful now with the Windows 10 stuff, right? So it's good to have compatibility of things that don't speak Matrix as well. So there are lots of applications for the commercial side of it, and I wish we probably dug into this a bit deeper than we probably do right now.
Okay, cheers.
So in terms of original sins for the IRC bridge, I'd argue it's not the fact that it doesn't strip out characters from the usernames, but that the membership list can get out of sync.
Yep.
And the thing that really pushed Libra over the edge into being very, very, very unhappy with us were situations where the bots, which were joined to IRC to represent the Matrix users, wasn't in sync with the users on the Matrix side of the bridge. Did we ever actually find a good solution to this, or is this a fundamentally hard or unsolvable problem? Matrix is obviously eventually consistent in terms of which, say, members are in a room, and therefore you might not ever actually know precisely what members are in a room to representing it on the IRC side.
And made worse by the old room versions we had as well, so the split brains all out of control, which is somewhat what Hydra hopefully will solve, as the eventual consistency will be more consistent. So some of it, I think, is that just that we didn't have all the data on the Libera.chat home server, which was obviously not a major org, it's on its own, so it might not see a full view of the world. Some of that were bugs in the bridge, to be fair. I think there were cases where we're just missing member lists sometimes, and it was a hard problem to be always consistent on time as well, because obviously for Matrix, Federation comes in late or delayed, and I think for IRC it's unusual to see a membership delay that we were seeing, but we almost expect it in Matrix sometimes. So there's a numerous reasons how membership lists cannot be precisely aligned, and it can look scary, but it's weirdly sort of one of our properties, I think, of our chat. Probably overall it's one of those things where Matrix is obviously very different to IRC, which scares people, but it's sort of expected in a way.
Okay, it was a slightly rhetorical question, and I think that it is possible to get it right. We never did, so the current bridge, as you say, may have a few bugs. But even if the Matrix side is eventually consistent, if we only go and route messages through to the users on the Matrix side who are visible to the people on the IRC side, then you don't leak any history from IRC to expected people on Matrix.
And we built this, right? That was the thing we built, where we had if we believed the room wasn't correct, we stopped forwarding traffic entirely. We didn't do the Whisper sort of system you're talking about.
We didn't route anything. However, then it became too fragile, because if any single one of the IRC bot users seemed to have failed, then suddenly the whole bridge would fail over to Matrix.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing we're lacking there was this Whisper style API. I'd say talk to some users. We only had the everybody or nobody, so we were biased to turn it off until everything was correct, and then knowing if it was correct was difficult, so we end up with a situation where it was more broken than not.
Yeah, so yep. Basically to do a really good job of IRC bridging, we might need a new primitive, like yep. Say the ability to basically address a subset of the users in the room to say, we know that these guys are definitely connected to IRC right now, so they're going to get the messages, and other people who aren't represented on IRC won't be able to see those messages or something like that.
Yep.
It really is a horrible mismatch between the two protocols, as your Lego car demonstrated.
Yes. Sure.
Follow-up question in the chat room. So how would these rules based on room state deal with encrypted state events?
So actually it works really well because it's client decoration almost. It's a hint to clients not to do a thing as opposed to a hard and fast rule. So to be honest with you, the client that's sending messages should be playing by the rules. And so there's no real encryption, no decryption to be done. When you're sending a message, you check the rules, which are in plain text, to make sure that you're playing by the rules and you reject the thing. So actually, it works really well with encryption.
Okay. Any further questions from the audience? Nope. One at the back.
Thanks for the talk. So did I get it right that it's stored in the room state?
Yes.
Okay, so we need some kind of admin to configure those rules.
Yes, generally speaking, the IRC bridge is usually admin in the room, so it works well for the bridging use case. Also, potentially for the DM use case, right, because you always have you're both admins in those situations.
So how would we deal with the case where there's already a matrix room and then one person from IRC is joining, like syncing the whole room?
Yeah.
That would then need to be done by the admin of this room, right?
Yeah, and the way actually we do this usually is with the widget. I didn't even show that bit, but we have an integration manager for that sort of stuff. The integration manager has access to the person's admin client. Well, the admin has access to the client, right? So you can use the widget API to set those permissions in advance. So actually, and I mean, we could prompt to say, do you want to set these rules? But if you don't, you're going to probably upset your users. So there is an element where you can, as the person integrating IRC into your channel, set the rules at the same time.
Okay. Because my last question would be, like, can you do a comparison between the advantages and disadvantages of putting those limitations into the profile, like the membership profile?
Yeah, you definitely could. So you could also say this MSC also happens to exist in the extended profile. And so you know in advance of joining the room, or starting a DM with somebody, what platform they're on and what limitations they have. Potentially, if you're doing a call before joining, so if you try to call someone you haven't got a DM with, you'd like to know first so you can't call them. So actually an excellent use case for that sort of thing. There's no reason this can't be in the profile. It's simply that the profile extension stuff landed after this MC was created, so it didn't exist at the time. But yeah, no reason why we couldn't do that. Good idea.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. We still have some time. Any further questions? If not, another big round of applause to Hafshad.